Welcome to The Ordinary Man. Well, guys, it is a pleasure to have you on for another episode. I have the distinct pleasure and honor of having a tremendously good friend of mine here in the studio this evening. We're actually kind of more towards the evening after work for both of us. It's still the summer. We're both still working. But in the studio with me this evening is a good friend of mine, Billy. So welcome, Billy. I appreciate you taking some time out of your day to do a podcast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Lots to say. Number one, let me just say first and foremost, your voice was meant for radio.
Well, as my wife says, I have a face for radio, so I'm glad that my voice matches it.
No, it is perfect. I love it. Well, a little bit, I get to brag on you a little bit. So Billy and I, we go to the same church. We've found friendship there. He is way into sports, does a lot of work. We'll get into that in just a little bit.
So some would say too much.
Too much, right? He's connected with my kids quite a bit because he's in the local school system and does a lot with the sporting program. So very well connected there, involved in our youth department, just all over the place. And this is a man that when you see him, when you get to see his face, it's a smile that goes from ear to ear. You can't miss him because he's looking for you. And if you look his direction, he's looking back at you, and he's going to find you. He's going to shake your hand. He's going to pat you on the back. He's going to give you a hug. You are going to have an encounter with Billy when you meet him, and you're never going to forget it. And it is true. And I just love that about you, man. I love how full of life you are with everybody that's around you.
No, I appreciate it. It's just something that I've tried to grow to show. Like I want to lead by example, and I kind of get on my kids about it sometimes, too. I have a 6-foot rule, and especially when I'm walking the hallways in the school. If you're within 6 feet of somebody, you should be making eye contact. You should be speaking to that person. You should let them know, acknowledge them. I see you. You see me. We're two great people. We're God's children. Let's show a little love and then move on with your day.
I love it. Well, to open us up here a little bit. So you have been, we'll go way back in your history and a few, but right now, let's talk about what's happening in your life right now. Some pretty awesome things, you know, that are now gone from maybe possibilities, hearsay, to I dare say, actualities, realities, things you've been working for a long time. You have now taken a promotion. So you've been in the school system as a teacher and athletic coach and a lot of programs, but now I believe you have the esteemed pleasure of being the athletic director for one of our local schools here. So tell me a little bit about that.
Oh, that's right. When I first moved down here, I started out as a instructional aide working at the temporary alternative placement center. Speaking of my past, which we'll get into, I have a law enforcement background. So when the school knew I was trying to coach and then they heard about my resume and what I did in the past, they were basically like, I have a perfect spot for you over there at the alternative center. So I started there and I loved it. I was an aide. Everybody that I spoke to, all the teachers, all my coworkers, even some of the kids were trying to tell me, like, Coach, you should keep going. Why do you only do an aide spot? You're wonderful here. I've never felt this much love at some place that usually didn't have that much love in it. I've never felt that before, and I feel like you should do this as a career. So I went back, got my degree. And well, finished my degree because I started a long time ago. Back in 2004 is when I graduated high school. So I started school right after then, and I finally finished in 2025. So the one thing I want to give out to everybody is finish what you start. Doesn't matter how long it takes, because trust me, you can do it. If I could do it, you could do it. But they finally offered me a full-time teacher's position. So the athletic director spot is wonderful. I love the tag that they give me. I'm able to oversee the sports at Dolphin Junior High. But the main thing that I love is that I'm an actual educator now. I've been an educator in an aide spot, but now as a full-time certified teacher, it feels a little bit different inside that I'm able to control the grades and I'm able to have a roster instead of just being a supportive role. Now I'm actually leader in the gym.
And what a tremendous, I don't think we ever get enough time to credit those that are part of our education system. I mean, we talk a lot about military backgrounds and thank you for your service. We talk a lot about our local law enforcement, you know, thank you for protecting our communities, EMS, first responders. But I think many times we forget the foundational people that let's be honest about it. You guys get to spend more time with our kids in most circumstances than we do.
That's right.
You have a huge emotional impact and a huge just life trajectory impact on so many kids at so many different ages. And those can be trajectories for these children at all ages that are positive or sometimes very negative.
That's right.
And the amount of control that you have over that is just, it blows my mind that we don't celebrate that more, that we don't just honor that. So, you know, first, let me just say thank you. Thank you on behalf of a community. Thank you on behalf of another dad and a parent of girls that you chose to do something with your life that is far greater, that the ripples are always going to extend past you. And it's not unnoticed, it's not unearned, and it is something that is truly, you know, we are grateful for people like you that do that.
No, I appreciate it. And in public service, I feel like it's more of a calling, because one thing, it's not for the money. The pay is okay. You can live. You're not living on the street, but it's definitely not for the money. And I've grew to understand that it takes a village to really raise a child. And I feel like over the past decade, we've become so secluded in our own families, we forget that. I want a help in raising your child, just like I would like you to help me in raising my child. There's so many different avenues of life that we're pushing our children away from, instead of broadening their horizon and challenging their critical thinking, instead of just putting them, this is the right way, this is the right way. Well, let's get them around a bunch of different emotional people and a bunch of different opinions, and let's have them figure out the right way. So I love education. It's definitely a calling. And every day, it's a funny saying, but when you have fun at work, are you really at work?
Right.
My wife tells me all the time, I have such a good time at work because I'm really a junior high student at heart still. So I feel like I'm a 40-year-old seventh grader at times, because I just love on the kids. And I feel like if you lead with love, everything else is easy.
Well, that is such a beautiful picture, because I know that that's biblically, you know, what you're supposed to do. Like, we can read through God's word and say, hey, love is the beginning of everything that Jesus had. You know, there's so much more we unwrap from that, but it all began with love first. But so many of us forget that, because there can be people that are hard to love. Absolutely. I'm sure there are kids sometimes that are hard to love.
Absolutely.
But it is obviously, and very apparent, you know, just from your aura, from your atmosphere, and obviously noticing what you get to do from the outside, looking in, that God has ordained you very specifically for this role. But I feel sure you've got some story behind that maybe God wasn't always right there at the forefront of that for you. Tell me a little bit about your journey, and you can go back as far as you want to childhood or pre-adolescence, you know, where you were at with your folks growing up, those kind of things. But, you know, me knowing your story, I know you have had such an evolution and just growth in your spirit. But I'd love to really hear kind of where God's taken you through that process.
Absolutely. I mean, as a child, I grew up playing sports. I was always a three-sport athlete. I've played every season. There was never a time when I wasn't on a court, on a mat, on a field, doing something involved in sports since I've been 8 years old. And I was always really good at it. In my town, for instance, I was the first freshman to ever start varsity football. I was the first three-time captain. Like, there were so many firsts that I've made in my town when it came to sports. It effectuated my life. That's all I really cared about. There was nothing else that I cared about besides sports. We grew up on the lower income side, so I knew that was my key to get out and to live a successful life. At that time, we had MTV Cribs, so my level of success was different, I guess, to some people when you see all the mansions and Ferraris and stuff like that. So I was definitely infatuated with the money side growing up poor. I had a full ride scholarship. I had opportunities to go to Ivy League schools because my grades were still fairly good. I knew, and school just came easy to me. I still say to this day, I don't enjoy school. I'm just good at it. So I just try to go as far as I can in my academics. But it came so easy. So I had so many opportunities coming out of high school. And then 2 years into my college years, my father passed away. When my father passed away, he was my rock. He was the only direction I really had in sports, in life, really. I didn't have, my family was smaller, but there was so much chaos in my family with alcohol abuse and drug abuse. It was it was chaotic. So I really only listened to my father in every aspect. So when I lost him, it was devastating. Then my life took a little bit of a turn because I didn't have the direction anymore. I didn't have the man to say, don't do that. You shouldn't do that. And we'll go with little things like holding the door open for somebody, picking up a piece of trash. When you see, like, my father was so ethnically bound to make sure his children were just good people. I didn't have that direction anymore. So without that direction, I turned to the streets. And that was the only way I knew in my town and my family on how to survive, I was on a full scholarship and I just didn't have the direction to say, stay where you're at. You're on the right path. You're doing the right thing. Everything will work out. I needed the instant gratification right now. And I just went down a path that it was no light in it. It was so dark. It was so dark. In doing that, I felt like I was making not only no impact in the world, I was making a negative impact. I was gifted with so much talent and so much energy to give, and I could care less about any of that. All I cared about was one thing: making money. And by any means necessary, I was going to make money. Excuse me. So it weighed on me and weighed on me and weighed on me. And then I lost my mother, we'll say 7 years after that. So now I'm parentless. I'm really out here. I have a daughter at this time. My life is just going in the complete wrong direction. Met my wife. My wife was a light to me. She showed me that there's other ways to live in this world. And a lot of it really wasn't even her. A lot of it was going to her family and going to a Thanksgiving and seeing kind of what a functional family looks like. And everybody says, oh, we're functional. Everybody has dysfunction. So right. If everybody thinks they're a perfect family, they're wrong. But just to see a normalized family, in my opinion, something that people are getting together and they're not getting drunk and having fistfights in the backyard. That's what I grew up as. There was never a barbecue where there wasn't violence or something happening. So seeing that, it pushed me to try to better myself and to understand that God had more for me. And at this point, I didn't even really believe in God. My wife grew up as a Catholic and she would pray and she would throw a little bit of things out there, and she wasn't trying to force me, which was wonderful because she knew I was so stubborn it would never work anyway. But she would just throw little breadcrumbs, and I followed them. So I credit a lot of me turning my life around to Miss DeAndra Landry, my wife, because without meeting her and becoming her husband, I don't know where my life would have been by now.
But we know where it's at now.
That's right.
We can see the path.
That's right.
And you know, just to hear you start connecting those dots, you know, in the moment, you're probably, I don't know, really know why these things are lining up, you know, but, you know, maybe good karma. Well, you know, I personally, not a believer in karma. It's not what I think. God is in the good. God is in the bad. God has got it all.
Right.
Nothing that happens is somehow a surprise to him.
And even in my walk of faith, I've realized that God was moving puzzle pieces around in my life before I even ever believed in it. God loved me before I loved him, before I ever gave my heart to him. And that's something that gets me emotional when I try to explain to other people, God loves you whether you believe in him or not. Like,
that's right.
Your belief, he wants you to love him. He wants you to care for him, but he loves you unconditionally no matter what you're doing. It saddens him to see us live our lives the way we do, but he's still going to move pieces for your good and give you the choices to follow him. And the bigger plan is, it's never ours, because I always try to say to my wife, well, when I tell God my plan, he always ends up laughing at me anyway, because it goes the complete opposite direction of what I've planned, hence my current situation. I would have never thought when I moved to Alabama, I would have finished my degree. I would have became a teacher. It was something that was never in my life plan. Never. Maybe when I was a kid, I wanted to be a coach, but it wasn't a teacher. I was so young, I didn't really realize it anyway that they were actual teachers that were coaching. I thought they were just coaches.
Right.
So it's wonderful how he moves everything for your benefit, even without you realizing it's happening.
Well, that is, I mean, you could unpack that testimony probably for hours on end. And I just love, again, you started out by saying something really kind of caught me off. And again, for those of you listening, we didn't walk in here with a script. We didn't walk in here with a plan of what we're going to attack. This has really just been, you know, two guys sitting in here that want to talk about life. But you open up with, hey, man, I lead with love, because that's the example that I've seen and know. And then you get all the way back to your testimony, and you literally see that played out in action. It's like, oh, God led with love. He loves you no matter what. He loved you first, even when you were running away. And so it's just amazing to me to hear you unintentionally probably say, this is what my life credo looks like, and this is what God did for me. And then I watch them from third party right now. I watch them align. And it's amazing to see that you know, you get that. There's so much of the world that I think would be different, that would change if we got that. And for myself, you know, just listening, it's so much of a lesson learned, because I can tell you the number of times that far exceed the fingers on my hand that I did not lead with love. I did not lead with love in my marriage. I did not lead with love with my parenting. I did not lead in love with work and friendships or whatever it may be. I let emotions get in the way, or I let anger get in the way, or I just let, you know, pride, arrogance. There's so many things I can fill that blank in, but it wasn't love. And I can tell you with certainty, again, 2020 always, or hindsight always being 2020, the outcome would have likely been different. And so many of the things that I fell in, if I could have led with love.
Absolutely. And I still have to daily die to self when it comes to those same sins, anger, pride. It's not only daily, I would say hourly, as decisions come and situations present themselves. You got to make a decision in that moment right there to choose love, because like you said, there's so many different avenues that we can choose. And anger is usually one of the ones that my natural body wants me to go towards, and my man wants me to do. And I even when I make the mistake and I know that was wrong, I shouldn't have screamed at that point. I shouldn't have blew up as a ticking time bomb. Correct it, understand it, apologize for it, and move on. And the more you do that, the easier it becomes to make it a common situation.
That's right. Well, I love so much about that. And as we get to talk a little bit more about where you're at now, you got this new adventure ahead of you. You got a new kind of, it's not a direction, but a new position that you're working in. Where do you want that to go? You know, put some foreshadowing on the wall for yourself. You know, you've been blessed with such an opportunity. Where do you want to see this go? And then maybe why? You know, as you're talking to some of these other men that are going to listen to this, you know, help us understand some of the wisdom that you're seeing right now that maybe can help us on the course that we're on.
You know, it's funny that I go back to what I said before. Every time I tell God my plan, he ends up laughing at me. And I've come to a point now that I was literally just praying about this, I want to say last night, maybe the night before. But I'm willing to go in whatever direction God, I always say, kicks me down, because I'm stubborn, so I don't listen as well as I should. So whatever one he kicks me down, I'm willing to follow. Like you said, I do the junior high stuff. I do the high school stuff. I do the rec stuff, because I just want to have an impact on somebody that maybe isn't getting that love at home, or maybe isn't getting that love on a constant basis. If I can, you can't help everybody, but you can help somebody. That's kind of a motto that I've lived by. And the more people you're around, the more people you can influence, the likelihood of you doing that is a lot better. So I don't really know at this point, Kenny, to be completely honest. I was thinking possibly go back and finish it and continue this education degree, maybe become an assistant principal to a principal side, go on admin side. Because like you said, I'm pretty good at school. So I think I can go back and get that admin master's. Not easy. I'm sure it's not easy, but I don't think it will be draining me as much as finishing my bachelor's did when I was doing 100 things right at the same time. But I'm trying to just listen to God. And a lot of times I have my fingers in my ears, and when I'm trying to listen to God, and I'm saying I'm listening to God, but I'm really not. I'm trying to still pick my own path and pick my own direction. But I've learned through this whole situation is try your best to live a godly life. Try your best to pray. Try your best to follow the word, and let God control the joysticks. And wherever he wants to send me, whatever he wants to do, I'm willing to listen and I'm willing to follow. So that's, I really don't have, and it pains me to say that, but I really don't have a direction that I'm looking to do besides continue to lead with love and follow exactly where God wants me to go.
I know one thing that we share in common is we're obviously both dads. We're both dads of three kids. I have three girls. You have one girl and two boys.
That's right.
And we also share a bit of a similarity that we have one kiddo that's quite a bit more older than the others.
Yes, sir.
And so, you know, my oldest is well on her way to a lot of life independence and doing some great things. Yours is also in the same boat, learning some very quick adult lessons. But tell us a little bit about, you know, for you, what are you learning now? Because I'm sure you went through a lot of growing pains as a new dad. Things, obviously, both of us could probably tell stories for hours of, I wish I could go back and do.
Absolutely.
But then we get number two and then number three, and it's like every evolution is better with the next one. And of course, you got your two boys, twins, right? So they are very close to
8 and 7, yeah. Right? 1 year, 18
so
months.
So we might as well be twins at that point,
that's right?
But so close together that you kind of get them in the same brackets of life all the way down the way. How are you evolving as a dad? How are you, you know, injecting God? How are you doing for them what maybe didn't get put into your life to hopefully change the path that they're on right at home?
Well, with my daughter, Kayla, she's definitely the one that helped change a little bit of my direction, too. When I said I credit my wife with everything, some of that credit goes to my daughter, because there's one thing that my father didn't instill is, if you create a life, your job is to be responsible and make sure that life has the best possible direction that you can give. So that was my goal, was to try to show her somewhere on how to be a woman. I'm not a woman. At that point, I was a single dad. I was raising her by myself. I always make a joke that I thought I was a great girl dad until she turned 14. When she turned 14, all rules were off. I had no idea how to deal with her emotions. I was so lost. I'm such a sports dad and gung-ho and this strong, hard, fast. And now I'm dealing with a 14-year-old girl that is very emotional, that she likes sports, but she definitely doesn't want to play sports. So I couldn't relate any of the things that I would say an expert in on how to translate conversation with her. And it was such a difficult task to just show her that our life can be better. Our decisions can be better. And even with her now evolving as a young adult, my boys, I've been in enterprise now for about 4.5 years, going on 5 years. And I found God down here. So they've been raised in the church basically since they've been 2 years old. And that's my main goal, is to show by example. One thing that I still have to do to them better is read my Bible in front of them. I'm so private when it comes to reading my Bible and my prayer time. I don't pray with the family enough to show the leadership that I want them to understand, because they know what they see. And even though I'm praying, if they don't see me praying, they don't know I'm praying. So there'll be little times where I'll have actually ask them to pray over the meal or something like that, just to let them know that God is in control of everything we're doing, no matter what we're doing. Even my youngest, when he hits a good ball in baseball or he's scoring around, you only did that because God let you do it, buddy. And I just try to constantly remind them that God is in control of everything we're doing. And I just want them to understand that, instead of how I grew up and me trying to hold the steering wheel as tight as I can to choose the direction that I'm going in. Is I want to get them in the kind of mindset that I'm in right now. Do the best you can, pray to God, ask for help, and go in whatever direction that he wants you to go in, and be able to listen to him. So it's having them at High Point. And recently I've been showing up at a couple services at their baseball coach, Anthony Scherer. He's a pastor of a church in New Brockton. I've been kind of going back and forth with them because they love Coach Anthony. They know him as Coach Anthony, not Pastor Scherer or Pastor Anthony. And also to show that you can be the coach of baseball and you can be the police officer or the teacher or the Publix worker. It doesn't matter what you're doing, and still live your life for God and be able to know your word and lead with love with the people around you. So I want to show them that. Is everything I can say, but I want to show them as much as possible so they can also try to lead with love and follow Jesus.
I love it. So one of the last things, and this is really, I've been on this a lot lately, mostly because it's the thing I've been getting wrong the most lately, and time management for myself. How do I divide my time up? What do I invest in? How much do I invest in it? Where do I balance that out? What gives? What takes away? You know, as men, you know, I'm not, and I don't mean this in a chauvinistic way, but I do believe we are called to be the leaders of our home. I do believe we are called to be providers. It doesn't mean that our spouses can't help with that or are not willing to do that, but I do believe that that's what God has put on my heart to be. So I work very hard in many, many avenues to be a provider. But I can also tell you that personally, confession here, I have fallen into the trap so many times of feeling like I had such a desire or such a responsibility to provide that justified my overabundance of working or my imbalance of work-family time. And I know if you ever pull my wife aside and ask her, she's always going to tell you, hey, he ain't got that part right yet. And rightfully so. She's not wrong. And I know when, you know, she does get to listen to these too, and she's going to listen to this. She's going to elbow me a couple times, and she should.
That's right.
She really should. But it's hard. It's really hard for us as men because, you know, I know myself to be a type A. I know you good enough to know you're a type A.
That means a capital A.
That means if you put a task in front of me, it's not going to just get done.
That's right.
It's going to get done with excellence. I'm going to strive to be the best. And if there's anybody else competing for that task, get out of my way. I'm going to do it better than you because that's how my brain works. And I'm not justifying that. I just know how I'm wired. But naturally, sometimes that comes at the cost of how I mismanage my time or how things get out of balance. How do you deal with that? Like, so you're walking into a new role. Like, you're obviously going to have some show of force now. You know, hey, I got to put in a little extra here because I'm the new guy at this. I got to put in a little extra because I have some extracurricular things I'm responsible for as a director. How are you going to structure that? So for the other guys listening, again, somebody out there is dealing with a new job or they're dealing with, you know, new parenthood or they're dealing with trying to balance that work home life. What are some things that you feel like you're going to push towards to kind of shape your decision making and how you work towards the best?
The one thing that's taking me forever to learn is they're the same 24 hours in the day we all have, but there are only 24 hours in that day. So control with what you can control. Try not to procrastinate in the moment. So if it's a small task, instead of saying, I'm going to do it after this task, do it right then and there. And realistically, Pastor Derek taught me that when it comes to praying. Oh, I'll pray for you later. No,
right now.
Let's pray right now. Let's do it. Why wait till later? So that's one thing that's definitely helped me in time management and a lot of it. My biggest thing is trying to keep my kids around all the time. I want my children to see what I do. So I want to show them, not just tell them. A lot of people will tell them because they say, oh, we love your dad. Well, they never, and I heard my son say this other day, well, you've never been in trouble by him. So that made me laugh a little bit. But I try to get them involved, even at the school. So if it's 3:30 and the school day's out at 3:05, I'll have the bus try to drop them off at school with me. I'll try to bring them to practice. I'll try to intermingle, which in my job, it makes it fairly easy to do because it's education atmosphere. If it's school atmosphere, they go to Enterprise City Schools. You can pretty much go to everything I go to, buddy. So I try to bring them along with me to show them that. So they're not just doing something else, which they also do a lot of their own stuff, which is hard too. But I spend more time with other people's children than I do with my own. So I want to incorporate them in that same atmosphere, to see where I'm at when I'm coaching. I just don't want to be a dad when I'm at home. I want to be a dad all the time, even when I'm on the field or on the mat or whatever I'm doing in that aspect. It's just, I don't know if I have it completely perfected yet on how to time manage because there's still times where I need to sit at home and hold my head in my hands and, well, how am I going to get this done? And constant brainstorming, and I'm an overanalyzer at times. And because, like you said, I want it to be perfect. And the main thing that I've also learned is he's not looking for perfection. He's looking for action. So just like, for instance, this podcast, I was very nervous about doing this. I was hesitant about doing this. I could have had a very little excuse on why I can't come, and that little excuse is going to be a reason why I can't come. But again, he's not looking for perfection.
No,
he's just looking for action. He just wants you to make a decision to move.
And I think the folks that'll listen to this, they're in the middle of their imperfections, And I think more people enjoy, you know, my wife and I, we do a podcast as well. And one of the things that we really like being transparent about is that we're going to share our travesties with you. We're going to share our mistakes with you, because not for the purpose of drama, but people like to hear, or much more prefer to hear, about the things that are going wrong than, oh, well, I'm great at this and I'm great at that. And life is perfect over here. And this worked out and this worked out and this worked out. And this, it's like, okay, you can hit my Facebook and you're probably going to get the highlights, because
right.
I'm not complaining every day on Facebook. I'm showing you the beach trips and the things that are working out. But when you take the time to step back and dial into real, and you let people in behind the curtain for a minute, they get to see that real humans exist and real life happens in the confines of our homes, in the confines of our jobs. And it doesn't happen perfectly. There's a lot of learning that occurs. And so I think people, honestly, they give more credence to the things that go wrong, because they can use them as building blocks for their own life. Because you and I can probably both agree that if I can make the mistake, or if I've already made the mistake, but I can be clear enough with you to show you where your path could be different, I want that for you.
Right.
I don't want you to have to pay the price that I paid. I don't want you to have to walk the road that I walked. And we could talk about that with our kids. We can talk about that with people that we mentor. We could talk about that with students in your case, coworkers in my case, or even just friends. It's like, hey, man, listen, I love you. I respect you, but I see a path that you're on. And I just, let me share with you where I have been. And maybe you don't have to do that too.
Right.
You know, or maybe we do ended up in the same end of the road and somebody feels like, oh, this is the end. You know, I've screwed up too much this time. And it's like, no. Now, let me just share with you a minute, because there's nothing in this world bad enough that we've done that God forgets us, that he's like, oh, nope, that was it. I draw the line right there. It begins and it ends at salvation and nothing else. I mean, that check got cashed right there at that moment. And he's like, the rest is done. You're mine.
I'm so grateful for that, because if God was like that, my line was drawn into sand
way behind me.
Many, many, many moons ago.
I lost that one.
Right. So I'm so grateful for God and his love and his grace because of that. And it you said it perfectly. Learn from our mistakes. Because again, I had to make these mistakes. I didn't have anybody that I was able to learn the mistakes from. I knew how not to act as a human. But when it comes to life and simple things like getting car insurance and the little things in life, I had no direction on how to do. So I really had to figure it. And this was before you could Google something you didn't have the internet telling you how to do stuff. You had to make a mistake and figure it out. So I've transitioned through so much of my life in doing that. And now just not being scared to make the mistake either. Like that's the one big step that it took me a while to learn. My fear of failure sometimes hindered me in even making the decisions and going the direction I wanted to go. But now, like you said, I know God's okay with my failures. As long as I'm identifying that was wrong, or that shouldn't have been the way I handled it. Coming back to like a decision that we make with our children or how I handled a student, I know I could have handled that different. He understands that, move on from it, and the next day will get better. And the more you do that, I won't say the struggle gets easier, because you're going to constantly do it, and it's going to happen because we're human. Your emotions take over sometimes, but it starts to be easier to where it happens a lot faster, and you're conscious of that decision before it comes out. I always like to say, respond, not react. So it helps you to respond to situations instead of just reacting in the moment.
And how much better are we because of grace? I mean, how much are we always going to propel forward? You know, it's not something that you abuse. It's not like I can just always intentionally make a mistake knowing that there's a grace waiting behind me.
But yes, it's not a safety net.
No, but it is most definitely an assurance of knowing that I can step out. I can try new things. God gives us the ability to do that. And at some point we're going to screw up. But we do know that he loved us through the mess ups.
That's
enough
right.
To say, it's okay. I still got this. I still got you. Let's take a left turn here and try again.
That's right.
And I love that.
It's just a wonderful thing to have. And the more you do that, I feel like the more it becomes your natural self, where again, you're going to have a mess up here and there, but instead of having 40 mess ups in a day, it might be 35.
I love it. But listen, man, I know we're approaching kind of our normal episode time limit, so we'll kind of wind down. I love to always put in there a prayer. I love just to kind of pray for those that are listening and pray over the people that get to sit in here. So you'll definitely be included in that and blessed. So without further ado, I'll cue a little background and then we'll just go into a moment of prayer here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are so thankful for your blessings. We are so thankful for the plans that you put into place, God. We are so thankful for just the life that you put before us, God, and the opportunities that we get. God, we're thankful for the lessons that we get to learn, God. We're thankful for the grace that comes when we make those mistakes down the road. God, I pray, Lord, for each man that's listening to this, for each person that even tunes in, God, that you would invest in them your power, your strength, your spirit, and your knowledge to know that you are in control, God, that you are there. You are in the highs, you are in the lows, God. You are taking us on this course, God, that this is not a surprise to you, that this isn't, oh my gosh, God didn't know. God, you are there every time and you know the plan. So God, we are thankful for just that ability to sit back and trust you in life. God, we're thankful for Billy. We're thankful for what he's doing, for those that are around him, for the young men and women that he's going to teach, coach, mentor, and be a part of. For those coworkers and teachers, administrators, and principals that are going to come in contact with him, that they're going to see a man that's full of life, somebody that just loves being where he's at. We're thankful for Billy and just the ability that he has to be an infectious personality, God. And I pray, Lord, that you pour a blessing over him as a teacher, as a role model, as a coach, as a dad, and as a husband, God, that you would give him your anointed blessing over his life. We're so thankful that he joined us and the time that he's given to this, God, that you would just, your hand would be on him as a man, God. And we pray so much more for those that hear his message and hear his story and that can relate to those things. And we pray for those men that may be struggling in those same areas, God, that you would bring them peace and anointment, and God, that they would see, here's a man that's been there, here's a man that's done it, and he knows. And God, that you would hear these requests and that you would take these lessons that we have to the bitter ends of every portion of the radio waves, God, that somebody would hear this message and know it's okay, that you're in control, that you're in charge, and that you've got this. But we're so thankful for each and everything that you have for us, and we pray all this in your heavenly name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Billy, it's been a pleasure. We are genuinely thankful that you were here with us. Best luck. As school starts, you got about another week and a half to get rocking and rolling. And, you know, for those of us all in Enterprise, go Cats, go Dolphins, and good luck for everything you're doing.
Thank you. Thank you. I just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Fins up, baby.
Fins up. Love it. Love it. Hey, guys, until the next time, until the next guest, we appreciate you being with us here on The Ordinary Man.